Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Leadership Now with me, Dan Pontifract. In the house today, Ilya Knepelhout. Now, Ilya has founded something that has piqued my interest from the moment I heard about it on my old Apple News, and that's the Offline Club. Now, the Offline Club was a response by Ilya to our increasingly digital world. Ilya is located in Amsterdam in the Netherlands, and the club offers a space where members can disconnect from their digital devices and reconnect with, lo and behold, the real world. The idea is to provide a tech-free sanctuary where individuals can enjoy genuine conversations and immerse themselves in the moment, reminiscent of the pre-digital era of the 90s, even the 80s for people like me. The club's core principle is mandatory disconnection from online devices, fostering an environment for genuine human interaction. Ilya's vision extends beyond individual well-being to inspire a global movement towards offline engagement, aiming to facilitate a worldwide reconnection with others and oneself. Ilya, welcome to this particular show. Let's start first, Ilya, with why. So what was the inspiration to create the Offline Club and sort of how you ultimately transitioned from a concept to putting this thing in motion to actualization?
Yeah, thank you, Dan. I think you couldn't have introduced me and the concept better. So I'm definitely going to listen back and write down how you explained it so that we can do that ourselves too. But the reason or the why behind the Offline Club is actually really from within myself and the other two co-founders, Jordi and Valentine. Because 2 years ago, Jordi, my co-founder, and me as well, we went offline for 4 days individually because we were quite frustrated with the fact that we did not have enough time to read or to get to other things we really find important in our lives. And we thought our phones were taking too much of our valuable time in our really fast-paced lives where we're just rushing from one thing to the other and we're not really standing still in the moment and we're not really connecting anymore with people. So that was an irritation we had ourselves, and the offline weekend, 4 days completely disconnected from the world, did us so much good in terms of creativity, creative input, inspiration. We got a lot of new ideas, but also a feeling of rest and a moment of reflection to realize what is really important to us. And that's when we thought, wow, this was so powerful. More people need to experience this. And that's how we actually came up with the idea to help and inspire others to go offline more often.
So then take us through it. So people say, oh, I want to be part of this club. I want to be part of the Offline Club. So how do they find out about it? Because it seems like you sort of, quote unquote, and ironically, of course, right, went viral online.
Yeah.
From, you know, 100 or so people on Instagram to, I don't know, about 150,000 people are now following you on your Instagram account. Right. So yeah. How do you get them in the door, and how are so many people interested, at least, you know, in the Netherlands, if not Amsterdam? Because I think you're starting to go into Utrecht and other places in the Netherlands. Tell me a bit about like how this is happening and why people are so curious and interested.
Yeah, it's been going very fast. We only started the Offline Club 2 months ago in the beginning of February. We had our first event and we have an Instagram account, right, to reach people. And so after our first event, I posted a reel. So in 30 minutes of my time, I created a reel. And without us having any expectation of it reaching anyone, it went viral. Two of our reels now have more than 15 million views.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. We have over 150,000 followers within a span of about 6 weeks. So it's been very overwhelming. And I think it really shows that the world is screaming for more connection and less screen time. And I think what really appeals to people, really from all over the world, we've received messages, is that instead of telling people the internet and social media and your digital devices are bad for you and for your mental well-being, people know that right now. But we offer them a fun solution, a very practical solution, which they can use to go offline with others in an attractive setting in their daily routine. So I think that's what really attracts people. And so the offline club people, we reach them through Instagram. They're not on our members. So people can attend our events whenever they like to. They just have to buy a ticket online. Gotcha. Right now in Amsterdam and a couple other cities in the Netherlands, hopefully soon in more places.
Okay, before we get into some of the societal issues that I think have created or been premeditated as a way in which to create the offline club, because I want to get your thoughts on things like loneliness and digital addiction and wellness, et cetera. I was so tickled pink. I was pleased. I was thrilled. I was chuffed, as we say in England, that you outlined the seven beautiful and unexpected things that have happened so far in your first 10 offline club digital detox hangouts. And yeah. So I'm going to play them back for you and so others can listen in on this. And then I want to get your thoughts in retrospect about sort of the event so far. So
yeah,
no particular order. You said two people forgot their phones upon leaving the event. So goal achieved, you guess. I thought that was funny. A guest started playing the piano in the Café Brecht. A stranger joined and they continued playing together. A young man from Turkey who lives in Amsterdam joined the event, found out about the event through his mom, who lives in Turkey, who read about you and the event in a Turkish newspaper. Number four, a journalist from Hamburg, Germany, who spent the night in Amsterdam only to report about one of your digital detox hangout events. Four 50-year-old women from London who are on a friend's trip to Amsterdam said that they chose the offline club as one of their must-visit activities. And then number six and seven, you were biking past a street pianist who was playing piano in public, messaged him on Instagram, and they did a surprise performance at one of the hangouts. And then the last one, a student from the University of Amsterdam joined one of the events just to have focused time to study without any of those digital distractions, but in the company of others. And I think that's correct. A great way to sort of segue. So those are seven different, unique, wonderful, loving moments that you've captured. Now that you've kind of in hindsight been through sort of 10 events like this, what's the palpable humanity lesson that you're learning from all of this?
Okay, interesting. So I think the main lesson is that people have a need, an inner need for connection, whether that is with themselves or with others. And it also has showed me that in today's world, it is hard for people to find that connection. First of all, the connection with themselves, because we live in a very fast-paced world, where when we're by ourselves in our rooms, yes, we are connected through our phones, but are we really connected?
Mm.
And then also with each other, you know, you can go to a cafe and it barely ever happens anymore that you talk to strangers. Or whenever you're in a tram or a train, you see people on their phones all the time. So it is very hard to get that connection, but we crave it. It's something we need as human beings. And that's really what I learned. And it showed that the offline club is a way for people to have very easy access to that connection with themselves and others.
Interesting. So the flip side to all this, maybe part of the reason for creating this, of course, is that you have honed in on the need for human connection, for community, for, you know, people being with people. But my point about the flip side is that we are seeing increasing levels, and not just because of the pandemic, prior to the pandemic, this was happening, increasing levels of loneliness, of digital addiction. We see, whether it's in Europe or North America or my country of Canada right now, that the number of people whom have suggested that whilst they're more connected online, they're less connected emotionally to other people. So ergo, numbers of people feeling lonely have actually catapulted. And then the whole point as well about being distracted by your phone, where, you know, upwards of 50%, you know, according to TeamStage and other sites that are tracking Europeans and Canadians and Americans, et cetera, on the distraction level of their device. So it sounds like you've created something to counterpunch some of the things that are going on, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you've seen societally, and again, in response with the offline club, if that's helping at all at this point.
Yeah, exactly. I think the offline club is really trying to be a counter movement to all of the problems you just mentioned. And yeah, I think what I found the most pressing issue is the loss of connection and the feeling of loneliness. I think that's very sad to see that people don't feel connected anymore to other people, and that community aspect is not there anymore. You know, where we used to have a church or in Europe, a football club or a tennis club, which was really a community. Now, because we're ever more connected with people who are far away, all of that has gone away. And only now we're realizing that maybe it wasn't actually so bad to only be connected to the people directly around us. So I think the offline club is really trying to be also a physical split space where people can meet on an ongoing basis and meet new people, but also like-minded people that they have already met at previous offline clubs. And then for me myself, my phone is really a huge distraction. It makes me anxious. It makes me stressed. It makes me feel like there's always something I still need to be doing. So as a student who came to us, being offline and completely unplugging from devices is a way to counter that constant distraction, which I see as a big problem, and also actually quite hurtful that these social media networks and apps try everything to distract you and try everything to get your attention just because it will make them more money. So that's a huge societal issue that I think is should be fixed and should be a counter movement against it.
Amen to that, Ilya. The notion that was swirling through my head as well as you were sort of remarking on my question was that the internet and devices have given birth to the global village, but almost at the expense of the local village. And it seems like the offline club is trying to reinstitute or reincarnate back thinking, to your point, of football clubs and bowling clubs and book clubs. Like the offline club is this reincarnation, I suppose, of not bowling alone, to use a very famous book metaphor. So do you see that you're trying to recreate the local village and how we can actually have body contact and body emotions and physical emotional contact with one another face to face? In addition, at some point, still thinking that, you know, there is a global village and, you know, you're not going to take down the internet tomorrow by the offline
club. 100%. 100%. There's a quote, I don't remember from what book it was, but it says, our phones make us ever more connected to everyone except the people we're with. And I thought it was very powerful. And at the offline club, yes, we do try to bring people together in real life because we value real life and offline over online. However, we're not completely against online, right? We're not against phones, and we do see them as a very valuable and practical tool as well. But we try to inspire people to go offline a bit more and to be more conscious about their digital behavior and to have a healthy digital diet, so that they can go offline more on a daily routine instead of having it impact and influence their lives so often. So I think these physical spaces and more the local approach is very important to have another option besides the global village, as you call it, to also have your local connection with the people directly around you.
Love it. So tell us a bit about like what's been happening at some of these 10 events. I mean, I've seen some of the videos and the reels, but without spoiler alerting anyone on this, you tell me, you tell the listeners and viewers, like, what is it like to attend one of the offline clubs?
All right. So you come in, we host them. We host the Digital Detox Hangouts, we call them, at unique and authentic venues across the city. And so you come in, you can come by yourself. It's a very safe space to come here by yourself, also as a woman. And the first thing you do is you hand in your phone and we lock it in our phone hotel.
Ah.
So you have absolutely no distraction. You don't keep it in your bag. It's with us. You have no way out, basically. And then we alternate time to yourself with time to connect, because we know people both come as a break from their fast-paced, ever-connected lives. So they want some time to themselves, to read, to draw, or to do other creative stuff that they never get to in their day-to-day lives, or that they never make the time to. And then they also get time, blocked off time, to connect. So that's when they meet new people. There are some conversation starters on the tables. However, usually it goes very organic. And when the time to connect starts, there's like a burst of sound and energy. And people afterwards exchange phone numbers, of course, on pieces of paper because they don't have their phones. Or they go to another cafe afterwards to keep connecting. And all that with relaxing music in the background, and it's all facilitated by people from our community.
I've seen people also playing like board games and sort of interacting in ways that are physical but not digital. So do you see, and whereas others are just reading a book, or as you say with the student example, yeah, right, studying and just listening, yeah, to perhaps the murmur of other people, yeah, interacting within the club itself. So tell us a bit about some of the physical things that are going on as well.
Yeah, a friend of mine actually visited two events so far, and he said it's just so fun to just observe people and to just be and think. And one of the other great things that, besides two people playing piano together, that have happened is that four people who didn't know each other before, one of them started part of a drawing, the other one then continued, and with the four of them, they created one big drawing, which I thought was just so cool.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we see a lot of people read. There was a lady in her 50s, I think, who came from England. And she said, I looked up from my book and I saw everyone read and it just made my heart sing. And it was just, I thought it was so beautiful to hear that from an older lady who kind of got nostalgic about the good old times when people read in a cafe and was all good and no distractions, and then people connect. And they just live in the moment. Yeah.
I have visited the Netherlands and Amsterdam in particular 7 or 8 times over the last 30 years. One of my favorite cities. And those early visits, there were sort of the two types of cafes, right? There were the black or brown cafes and then the cafes. And so it was always interesting to go into sort of the cafes with the weed or the marijuana, because there was a vibe. And you didn't really see or feel technology. It was just people sort of happy. But even in the non-weed or marijuana cafes, there was people, again, still, I would say, extolling the virtues of being with one another and not on devices. And so, you know, recently-ish, having gone back the last few years or so, I felt that Amsterdam was very much like other cities where, again, very quiet. You know, a lot of people on phones. And yes, there was more interaction, I would say, than in North American cafes, where everyone's on a laptop and it's quiet as a library. What's your sense of, is this an Amsterdam thing? Because the city's vibe and the Dutch themselves are a very communal and familial and connected physically type of identity already as a country, as a city. So do you see that as like, this is where it came from, Ilya? Like, this is because this is who we're supposed to be? We're the Dutch, for God's sake.
No, I actually don't think so. So the Dutch are very good at having deep and honest conversations, but mainly with people within their group and not so much with strangers. And what you're saying is true. I also see a trend where people are more on their laptops in shops or in the cafes, I mean. And that connection part is missing a bit. So I don't really think it's because we're Dutch, unfortunately. I wish I could say that, but I'm not of that opinion. A lot of people who visit our events are actually also internationals. For them, it's quite hard sometimes to really establish themselves in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, and find connection. And so The offline club is a way for them to meet new people.
Excellent. So what happens, I guess, after the offline club? Meaning, you know, you've had these events, and how are people continuing to connect, I suppose? Like, you feel that the offline club can ironically have an online club so that people continue to be connected, or are they just taking these relationships to Insta, to Snapchat, or what have you?
Yeah. Yeah, good question. And that's really something we're thinking about now and discussing between us founders, because we don't want to just be a one-off thing, right? Yes, people have already come back multiple times to our events, but we also want to facilitate connection outside of the offline club. So we are thinking about creating online, also an online tool, like a community platform, where we have very strict guidelines, so there's no spamming, and where we do encourage people to meet offline, but it is a way for them to connect online. As we said, it can be a powerful tool if used wisely. So we do see a community platform online as one of the ways for people to stay attached to the offline club, but also in the future to reconnect with each other.
Love it. And then you alluded to in one of your other online posts about sort of expansion into Utrecht, which is, you know, obviously another city in your country in the Netherlands. Do you see other countries or cities that have approached you and said, hey, is there a template, is there a blueprint, is there some way in which to expand the idea into other parts of the world?
From everywhere. So we have received messages from people who want to franchise our concept from LA, from New York City, from Atlanta. So that's just the United States, but also from Brazil, Indonesia, Australia, just everywhere. And that's really where we want to go. Already before we went viral, we said to each other, we want to be like the Silent Book Club, or like So Far Sounds, where the offline club is basically everywhere. If you want to go to a city, you can go to the offline club. So we're working out a licensing or franchising model right now so that other people can start the offline club with and for us in other cities. And I do think that North America, we also had some people from Vancouver actually reach out to us. We think that North America is going to be an interesting and cool market to enter. And I myself studied in the United States in New York City for 4 years. So I would love to go back as a offline club representative. Yeah.
Okay. A couple of last questions and we'll let you go. First of all, what you've outlined some of your memorable, loving kind of examples of like things that surprised you. But what have you learned so far in a very short time about the experience of the offline club and sort of how it's helped you and reshaped you or taught you what it means to be sort of a human and a leader, because you are using this experience as a platform?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I think what I have learned so far about life is that small decisions can lead to big changes. So for example, I only realized this last week through one of my co-founders, but 2 years ago, we were working at the same company and we both decided to work 4 days a week instead of 5 days a week. So we were going to have be paid less, but we would have 1 day to spend on our passion projects. And we only realized just now that that little decision, that small decision, has led to the offline club being here. And also just, you know, we had no business intent whatsoever with the start of the offline club two months ago. We thought it would be cool if one day we would earn some money with it. But by just doing it, you can get very far. You never know what happens. So it's better to just go for it, see what happens. It may go wrong, it may fail, whatever, but it may also have a huge upside. So I think those two are the biggest learnings about life and decision making. Yeah.
Love it. Andrew Barnes, founder of Perpetual Garden and the 4 day work week, would be a big fan of what you just said. So I'll pass that along to Andrew. Nice. And the last question here for you, Ilya, outcome. So what's your, I guess, best case outcome for what the offline club can help create for people?
Consciousness about your relationship with your phone and a feeling of more connection with yourself and with others, so that you're in control of your digital lifestyle. And yeah, we can create a worldwide movement where people understand how valuable the offline experience is. Then I think that would be a big success.
I love that. Well, this is just a phenomenal example of a young leader like yourself taking, as one might say, the bull by the horns and doing something about it, like recognizing there's a problem, but in a very thoughtful, courageous, but also loving way, saying, hey, there is a better way in which we, the humans, can be doing the thing called life. And that's what I wanted to tip my hat to you towards, because when I heard about the story, and I had to reach out and just say, what's the magic behind this ball? And Ilya and your co-founders, I think the three of you have glommed onto something that's really important. Not only do I wish you the best of luck on this, but the next time I'm in Amsterdam, you rest assured, Ilya, that I will be at the offline club.
Amazing. Well, just let me know, and we're happy to welcome you.
Excellent. Where can, in the meantime, people find out more about you and ultimately the offline club?
If you type in the offline club on Instagram, you'll see us. So it's @theoffline_club. For more information and our event calendar, you can find it in our Instagram bio. Since we have gotten a lot of media attention, you can just Google us and you'll find us. And hopefully through this podcast, of course.
Yes, this and obviously a accompanying Forbes column that will be part of this. So, Ilya, yeah, thank you so much. Honestly, it's great to meet you. Now consider us virtual friends, but we will be physical friends soon, that I'm sure.
I hope so.
Yes, indeed. Okay, Ilya, thanks so much. For those of you listening or watching, you've been involved in another episode of Leadership Now with me, Dan Pontefract, the Offline Club. What an awesome idea. Thanks so much, Ilya.